As I mentioned in the first service, I want to give a big shout out to Joy and Ken for their choice of music. They always do a fabulous job, but today's, I just really felt like it just weaves so beautifully with what we're going to talk about today. So big applause for Joy and Ken, please. Okay, so as Eric said, my name is Robin Berkeley. I've been a member here almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in January. And I was really inspired by that article that I read in the UUA magazine, and I wanted to talk a little bit about teaching youth and the role that all of us play in that process, particularly having gone through OWL training and the profound effect that it had on me. I think it's something that we all need to think about, not that we're all necessarily called to teach in the RE program, but that we are all called at some level to be actively involved or even passively involved in being role models for our children. So first thing I want to ask is, how many of you grew up in the UU tradition, like through school? I mean, I know Joy did. We got one, two. Excellent. So we've got two. That the percentage was probably less than 12%, which is what they were talking about in that little article. So it tells you a lot, right? It's abundantly clear, then, I think, as we sort of look at those numbers, that her perspective, Reverend Thandika's perspective about youth in the church, definitely has its merits. Most people come, really, to the UU tradition as adults, thoughtful and reflective, seeking something more meaningful and more integrative and more welcoming than mainstream faith traditions with those narrow creedal requirements. And for most of us, we see the world of spirituality as something larger and more complex than a belief in a God or one God or even the Trinitarian view of God. We see merit and divine inspiration in all faith traditions, as we are an intellectual and learning-centered community. We attract, as a rule, folks with a more liberal orientation because we know from research in the areas of moral psychology and cognition that liberals are more comfortable with ambiguity and are more open to new experiences. And of course, there's nothing more ambiguous than our understanding with any kind of certainty about what happens in the afterlife, if just such an afterlife even exists. I know my brother, who is a born-again Christian, can't get his head around the idea that I don't worry about the afterlife, and I simply don't know what's there, and it really doesn't bother me to know at all. And, you know, I figure I'll find out when I get there, if I get there. Not that I plan to live forever, but you just never know what's there. So for me, to be honest, my belief in the afterlife was greatly influenced by the movie Defending Your Life with Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks, right? You keep practicing until you get it right, and then you get to ascend to a higher state of being. And of course, when I shared that with my brother, who has his master's in divinity, started to twitch. It was a big issue for him. So we smile and nod, and I say, I love you, and he says, I love you too, and then we go our separate ways. So I was reading something on Facebook the other day about UUs, and someone who identified as Christian could not understand how an atheist could be comfortable in a Unitarian framework. He could not understand how theists and pagans and atheists could all peacefully coexist under the umbrella of Unitarian Universalism. And that conversation unfolded, and it was interesting. But what it came down to was that Unitarians all share a value system, not a creedal faith tradition, and we are all extremely comfortable sitting in that place of pluralism and ambiguity about what it all means, as long as we're respectful of those individual paths and we bring integrity to the process. And this is really nothing new to us. That's why we're sitting here, right? And of course, you know, it's this understanding, however, that I think really informs our conversation today about teaching our children and growing our faith, however we define growth. We're not an evangelical faith. We don't have missionaries out there spreading the word, sharing Bibles or other treatises about our point of view being the right one. I'm approached regularly by Mormon missionaries and Jehovah's Witnesses and even evangelical Christian side of my family try to convince me that their way is the right way, the true way, the only way to salvation. And we all know these faith traditions employ missionaries with the goal of increasing their numbers and thereby increasing the likelihood that all will be saved based on their unique belief system. We don't do this. At least not actively. And I struggle myself to walk that fine line of wanting to share who we are and what we believe, and then also practicing what I preach about tolerance for all paths and all belief systems. I struggle personally with the question, how can I say my way, a more value-centric approach, is better or more informed than a creedal tradition without feeling like I'm imposing my value system on others? So we take, here, a more gentle and welcoming approach. Our door is always open. We talk the talk here. We also walk that talk. We practice our message of being role models in our community through our social justice outreach and other activities. So if we move forward, we know that there are two basic ways a church can grow, either actively or passively. And the description that I just shared with you implies that UUs take a much more passive approach to our growth at the institutional level as well as at the congregational level. And this is no value judgment on that approach because it's consistent with our value system, right? You can't have it both ways. We may modify this passive approach with the occasional invite a friend day, but overall, it's antithetical to the UU value system to push the hard sell on folks. But how does this affect our approach to our youth programs? Should we take a more passive approach to youth retention or a more active approach? And as always, the intellectual in me says, well, it depends. There are pros and cons to both approaches and value in both approaches. And I'd like to offer arguments for both sides. I believe this is an important dialogue for us as a community at large and as well as it informs our growth here in Alton. And let me start with the passive approach. Given many of us have come to this special place in search of our own spiritual fulfillment, you have to wonder, given the UU value system, if this is a place purely driven by a mature intellectual approach to spirituality. Look at our own numbers of people who are homegrown in the UU tradition. Two. Not so many. Is this an adult-centric faith where children are dragged along as we search for our own divine inspiration? I don't think it's quite as callous as all that, but given the large number of adults in this congregation who sought the first UU either before they had kids or longer after they had school-age kids, there may be some truth to the idea that at its core, this may be a faith tradition that is more adult-centric than kid-centric. Can children really get their head around the level of reasoning and intellectual pursuit that is central to the UU tradition? Is what attracts people to the UU faith beyond the developmental capacity of children? Are children okay in the ambiguity that I talked about above, or should we be offering them more structure? Because we're told that children crave structure and orderliness and predictability, right? Now, if you go to Cafe Press website and you search Unitarians, you're going to find an abundance of posters and t-shirts and bumper stickers that say, Unitarian Universalists, where all your answers are questioned. It's true. We don't thrive on answers here. We thrive on questions and the journey to those answers, not the answers in and of themselves. It wouldn't surprise me that children might struggle in this place of ambiguity. While other faith traditions offer absolute certainty about what they believe and why, we offer questions. And while children also ask a lot of questions, they typically turn to us as adults to answer those questions. And as UUs, we're not particularly clear we have the answers. And that's okay. But the children continue to search to find those answers. And this is a concern, and certainly the concern that Reverend Thandika brings up in her article. But let me offer a counterpoint. From the more active perspective, many of us were driven to find a community because of our children. It became clear to me that I needed some assistance in teaching and supporting my belief and value system of my children. If I didn't, the belief and value system of my extended family, which I did not embrace, would creep into our daily life. And it really already did. My grandmother almost had a heart attack when she found out my oldest wasn't getting baptized in the Catholic tradition. I almost threw herself on the ground and went to palpitations. But that's my grandmother. She's a drama queen. But when my kids visited my parents, a whole set of rituals started to emerge upon their return home from those visits. And I realized I couldn't abdicate my responsibility to influence the value systems of my children and passively allow others to frame their values. Even though I didn't come to my own spirituality and beliefs until I was in my 30s, late 30s actually, much older, I also didn't want my children to struggle in a morass of confusing spiritual paths. I wanted them to know and to share in my beliefs, but also allow them the freedom to explore different ideas in a safe place. I wanted them to be surrounded by volunteerism and social justice and openness to new ideas. Before I came to First UU, my children struggled as outsiders in a larger community where church going, not just once, but sometimes twice a week, was a central part of life. Given they were already outsiders because they are mixed race and they have a mom who is lesbian, it felt like one more burden they didn't need to bear. Others I've spoken to here have been drawn to our community simply because of the fellowship that it offers our children. For example, our Camp Fest, which is fabulous. Others have been drawn here because of the programs we offer, Our Whole Lives, the OWL program, as we were talking about earlier, the Coming of Age program, our overall RE program. You just watched, you know, half the seats empty, right? All in all, our approach to this community, while serving each of us individually as adults, is driven by the desire to give our children something substantive to hold on to and believe. Influenced by a larger community that can actively serve as role models for our youth on how we think they should think about and live their lives. And what if that belief system of our children doesn't match our own? Well, I recall the TV show Family Ties, where the liberal couple Elise and Stephen Keaton raise a rabidly Republican son, Alex, played by Michael J. Fox. Sometimes you look at your kids and you wonder, were you switched at birth? Are you sure you're my kid? But joking aside, there are going to be times when our children really differ from us. And I recall a conversation with my daughter when she told me about her connection to the Greek gods, her belief in them at some level. And I looked at her and said something to the effect of, are you for real? Those gods never really existed. Until my very well-reasoned daughter methodically showed me that my own belief system paralleled hers, and that my statues of Shiva and Ganesh on my meditation table probably represented the same type of spirituality as her relationship with the Greek gods, that they were symbols of something bigger. Not representative of a true entity, but representative of a belief system that was larger than the confines of this earth could explain. That nature and the energy that connects all of us drive our existence on this planet, and it didn't matter how we could explain it. No different than the way my spirituality runs completely counter to my parents' belief system. And I had to recognize and really rejoice in the fact that I had accomplished exactly what I set out to accomplish, which is that I gave my daughter a place to discover herself and her source of spiritual guidance, with core values consistent with my own: service, volunteerism, social justice. The path didn't matter. What matters was that she was on a journey and that she had found some truth that was uniquely her own. And I am reminded of the adage, if you love someone, set them free. If they come back to you, they're yours. If they don't, they never were. Now, we've all heard this in the context of, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend that dumped us, you know, and don't worry, you know, it'll be okay. Well, it can be applied in larger contexts, obviously, because we all know that's true, right? I think the truth of how we grow as a congregation and as a larger institution lies in the idea that we should do all we can to inform our children of the importance of our belief systems. We should expose them to all that is the best of our values, and we need to teach them well, both actively and passively. Passively through bringing them along on our own spiritual journeys and exposing them to all that we value, and actively through our community here, our RE program, the UU Youth Choir, who sang beautifully this morning, both times, our Coming of Age program, our OWL program, along with our social justice activities. You know, Chris Bechtel is running, you know, fourth Saturday, you know, for, you know, this week. And, you know, he's 10 years old, 10, 9, something. I mean, it's fabulous. So it's really not one extreme or the other, but a wonderful balancing act of modeling good behavior and actively providing the kids with the guidance and structure that they crave, because they do crave that. Inevitably, children are going to fly and embark on their own journey. And I'm really not so worried about the future and growth of the UU faith, because I know that we will always have a stream of journeymen, or journey people, and seekers who will find us and continue to fill the pews. I'm also not worried about our children, as the Reverend Thandika states. I don't think it's a crisis. I think this is exactly what we're teaching our children: to search, to explore, to find their own unique way. But that doesn't mean that we should abdicate and say, well, why bother? That's the lazy approach. We should continue our intergenerational activities. Children learn by example and modeling, and no one can be a better teacher than our older and wiser members. While I love my parents, some of the greatest lessons I learned were at the feet of my grandmothers, how to cook, how to sew, how to navigate the world. We should continue a strong and substantive RE program to provide children with structure and a frame of reference in which to explore their beliefs. We should encourage our children to participate in the coming of age program to explore their own core beliefs and be able to state that in a proud and public manner. And I encourage all of us, when asked, to serve as mentors in that program. But there comes a time to let go, to pat them on the head and let them fly and explore and learn and make mistakes and trip and fall. And all we can hope is that we have taught them well and given them the tools to be a successful and spiritual adult, however we and they define spirituality. They're probably going to wander from the church, just as Barack Obama did in the article written by the Reverend Thandika, and just as I did from the church that served both of my parents for years, and probably most all of us did out there. But those formative years help build connections for children. Those formative years influence children in the things that they value. While Barack Obama wandered away from the UU tradition, he didn't wander far. He found the UCC, another liberal faith tradition. And even if he doesn't consider himself a UU, doesn't he espouse our views of tolerance and service and respect for the paths of others? Doesn't he embody all that we hold dear and pledge to as we become members of our church? Does he have to be a UU for us to believe we influenced him and the world at large through our values? He doesn't, at least in my opinion, and I firmly believe that the same goes for our children. No matter where they land, spiritual or not, theist or atheist, pagan or Christian, they will always carry the UU value system with them. We will have succeeded in influencing citizens of the world who give of themselves and care about others and are tolerant of differences because we have actively exposed them to those values in their formative years. Some may stay UUs, some may wander and eventually return to us, and some may never return, but we've changed them forever. We will have successfully balanced the desire for structure with the desire for freedom of expression. We will have changed the world because of it. As a larger institution, we should ask ourselves, what is our goal as a community? Is it to grow and be larger and compete with the mega churches of Christendom and the worldwide growth of the Latter-day Saints? Or is our goal to imbue a value system in our children and our members as a whole as they continue their journey wherever it takes them? We are all responsible for the health and growth of our congregation and the value system and faith tradition. We are all responsible to open our wings and share our message, but be respectful of others' journeys, even if that means others may wander to more certainty and less ambiguity than the UU faith offers. Because if our goal is to truly change the world, we won't do that through a creedal system, but through values that cross over all faith traditions: love, tolerance, care for those who have less, respect for all journeys, peace, justice, fairness, and the inherent worth and dignity of all. Even if our cheeks are not in the seats of a UU church, are we walking, living, and breathing UU values? That is what will continue to allow us to grow and grow and grow in our influence, even if we don't grow in actual membership. But I invite you to join the church if you are not yet a member. I invite you to share in our values and in our questions. I invite you to share in our journey of multiple paths heading towards the truth. And I invite you to continue to share our values to both actively and passively lead our children to a better world tomorrow.